Blog Talk Radio.
Let me tell you about something new. A new show called G's Power.
G's Power.
Real talk for real saints.
Are you ready?
And it's for real.
Welcome to G's Power Hour, live every weekday at 11:30 a.m. on Never Had It So Good Entertainment Network. Your host, G, will bring you informative and entertaining guests and a variety of topics in a way that you can absorb and enjoy. Listen in weekdays and call in at 516-387-1944. We love interaction. All shows can be downloaded if you miss one or found on iTunes the next day. G's Power Hour is powered by Never Had It So Good Sports Media Network.
G's Power Hour.
Yeah.
Well, good morning, brothers and sisters, kings and queens, angels and saints. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. Oh, goodness gracious, there's all sorts of stuff going on today, and, you know, there's never enough time to talk about them with my guest, Princess Cooper, CEO of Never Had It So Good Entertainment. Good morning. How are you?
Good morning, Gretchen. It's awesome. I'm awesome, and I'm happy to be on with you.
You are always awesome, definitely. Thank you for joining us. So we're going to talk about a bunch of stuff, but we are going to get to one topic in particular. But I wanted to touch on a few things. There's a, you know, they have those national day calendars with a bunch of stuff going on. But and there were like, there were a few that hit me, two of them because I guess had some connection with them. In addition, let's see, what is it? National Twilight Zone Day or something. That's not my thing. Okay, but there's National School Nurses Day. So if you had, you know, any kind of connection with a school nurse, you know, they need to be applauded. So today we honor the school nurses. My mom was kind of one briefly in one of my schools, actually. I think she kind of volunteered because she had some nursing training, and also I think she worked with the Red Cross a little bit. So she was, when I was in St. James in my early years, she was a volunteer nurse for a while because she used to actually come and sit and eat lunch with me. It's kind of a source of jealousy. But
aww.
You know, yeah.
That's so
it was,
my sister-in-law, yeah. I graduated with my sister-in-law, as a matter of fact, in high school, and she is a school nurse in Fort Myers, Florida. So I'll have to send her a text today.
Shout her out. Shout her out.
Valerie.
Well, you know.
Gosh, Valerie Stewart, I knew her as Robinson, of course, but Valerie Stewart, school nurse. I wish I knew the school, too. But that's
okay.
Neat. Now that you brought that to my attention, and I usually try to keep up with the National Day calendar for my clients, but, you know, I didn't see that one today. Yesterday was National Shrimp Day, though, and I actually had shrimp on and a steam bag yesterday, so.
Oh, I'm so jealous because I'm still kind of nursing some dental issues, but I think I kind of did make up for it when we went away for our anniversary because we ate like way too much stuff and most of it was seafood. So, and I've got some shrimp in the freezer, so I may be working on that this weekend. So, another day today, which I definitely identify with, is National Professional Receptionist Day. And I have to give credit to my mom with that because when I was in high school, she insisted that I take the classes like typing and stenography, which didn't really have any use for, but still it was interesting. And I took there was a business class in my high school with filing and stuff like that, and I was a member of Future Business Leaders of America. So when I got to college, I actually was able to use some of those skills, and I got a couple of receptions jobs when I was in college. I worked for our EEO department in college for a while, and then the office that handled the disabled, I worked in there for a while, too, as a receptionist there in both of those. And then when I graduated, and, you know, everybody, you have a whole bunch of people that graduated and vying for the same job, and not everybody gets mm-hmm. in. So my thing was, let's get my foot in the door. So I couldn't necessarily get a reporter job right away or a producer job right away or whatever. So I'm like, let me get in as a receptionist. So I did mm-hmm. that in a couple of cases at a radio station and a television station. So, I haven't used those skills per se as a receptionist in quite a while, but those skills do transfer over into a number of business sectors. So I'm appreciative of that, and it did help me get some of my first jobs. So,
oh well,
but then I was
getting
pigeonholed.
I never took any of those classes, home ec, and there was several, you know, word processing, typewriter and all of that. I never took any of those classes at the time. I was like, why don't you? And I was like, Mom, those are too girly. I was too busy being an athlete and playing softball and basketball. No, softball uh-huh. and volleyball. So I balk against those. So when it was time for me to do that in college and push out different reports and all of that kind of stuff, I wish I had had better typing skills to start with. Now, I developed them, mm-hmm. and now they're just out of this world. But I didn't do that in high school. Now, during the summer, I would go down to South Florida. They had several different courses, but I took speed reading courses at South Florida over the summer and different things like that. I'm always into that kind of stuff.
I always admire people that can do the speed reading thing. That is just an amazing gift. So good for you. So So yeah, those two. And then the other one, which I can also identify with, is today's supposed to be National Third Shift Workers Day. And having gotten into broadcasting, I've worked just about every shift in the book as a producer. It just, morning, if you're doing morning news, you're working overnight. I went in at mm-hmm. 11 o'clock. I've gone in 2-3 o'clock in the morning. So I've worked just about all of those shifts. And I can tell you, it is an adjustment. There are several articles I came across. I plan on posting them on the G's Power Hour Facebook page, because I really think it's important for people that work third shifts to understand the toll that it takes. One of the things that I saw in several articles were people that worked third shift were more likely to have contracted COVID.
Oh, wow.
You know, which I thought that was just very interesting. But I can understand it, because you're changing up the natural way that God had you intended you to be. You know, you're working mm-hmm. at night instead of during the day. You are also trying to accommodate a lot of people that work day shift, in order to have a relationship with them for the most mm-hmm. part. So it is a task. I admire people that can do it, because it's a strong thing. My husband every now and then throws up about the possibility of third shifts where he works, and I don't say anything anymore. I just kind of leave it in his hands, but I really am not a fan for him working, because I just think it does take a toll. And there's a lot of pressure to kind of keep a so-called normal life. So, I found myself trying to, schedule in, okay, this is the time I would normally eat breakfast or whatever. So trying to schedule mm-hmm. that type of, this is the time I would normally sleep. So maybe I should take a nap close to this time. And it was like, I ended up working in Ohio for a couple of years. And it was like, it's just me. I don't know anybody here except for the people that I work with. And I have to take care of me. And I just decided I was going to, I did a lot of fruit and stuff like that, bananas. I try to eat healthily, but at the same time, I decided to take the pressure off myself and pretty much eat what I wanted to when I want and slept when I wanted to when I want, and just try to pay attention to what my body said it wanted or needed. So mm-hmm. I was prone to maybe having greens 9 o'clock in the morning. Well, that's just part of it, because I'm probably up and I'm trying to get most of my sleep during the night. So I'm trying to sleep before I go to work because there's still some nighttime hours there, you know?
Wow.
So I was like, fine, I want greens. That's what I want. That's what I'm going to eat. So,
mm-hmm. Yeah. You know, I've never worked a night shift. Now, well, that's not true. When my company was doing inventory once a year, I would work the night shift and amazingly make it through. But I was never one. When 9, 10, 11 o'clock come, and my latest is 11 o'clock unless, you know, we're out and it's something special or on a cruise or something like that. But I don't. Mm-hmm. I normally don't do. I haven't had the opportunity or ever wanted to go in at 10 p.m. or 11 p.m. and get off at 6, 7, or 8 a.m. I would be no good to anyone.
Mm-hmm.
As a matter of fact, John is a night person here. He works very long hours in construction. He gets home, you know, takes a shower, has dinner with me normally unless I'm doing radio, which is often. I mean, about 10 o'clock, his clock is done. So he's asleep, and then around midnight, 1 a.m., he gets up again. And from 1 a.m. Mm-hmm. to 4 a.m., John is up in this house, and lights are on like it's the middle of the day. And I always quote what my parents said, at some point, the house needs to go to sleep, and that means everybody in it and the house itself. But
yeah.
With John, that, you know, he's a night person, and if he does a lot of residential construction, some commercial, and some of those commercial businesses, he has the key and the business is vacant, you know, the building is vacant, and he can go in. And a lot of times he'll go in at night because he's more productive. You
right.
know, 5 a.m., 6
exactly.
a.m. comes, and he's ready to go ahead and lay it down. But his productivity time mm-hmm. is, you know, 11 p.m. to 6 a.m. He can do well. No. Mm-mm. And
see,
I want everybody
like
to acclimate
that.
To that. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, I'm,
see, I, no.
I'm kind of
no.
like that because, you know, I have a tendency sometimes, like, I'll be exhausted, I think, and I'll go to bed like 10 or 11 o'clock or whatever. And I try to go to bed close to time that Reggie goes to bed. He's usually asleep by the time I get off of my gig that I have now. I get off at 10. And I'm also, just because I was a television news producer for a while, I'm used to having to watch the 11 o'clock news. So I really try to stay up and watch the 11 o'clock news, which I shouldn't. But I can go to bed or go to sleep either the late part of that news or afterwards, but I'll wake up at 1 something and be bright-eyed and bushy-tailed, and I'm like, oh, God, this is not right. This is so wrong. I have to get up in 3 more hours, you know, anyway. So it's a matter of deciding, and I've gotten to that point, too, where I've just decided, okay, I'm not going to toss and turn for 3 hours in the bed anymore just to try to get back to sleep. That's is not productive, and your body's probably trying to tell you something anyway. So I'm productive that type of time of day or night too, but I'm not as productive as I would like to be because I can't pick up the phone and like call you or some other people at that time of night to try to get anything
you can.
Done. So,
you
no.
can call.
I'm not
but
trying
you're
to get
gonna
that.
Either get no answer, or you're gonna get there. Better be something really wrong, Gretchen.
Right. But you understand what I'm saying, right? It's like,
mm-hmm.
There's only a limited amount of stuff that I could do that if something that requires interaction with someone else. So, but if it's something like I can lay a lot of groundwork that time of morning and then sleep well because of the fact that the stuff that's been like racing through my mind or on my mind and everything is not keeping me up in the morning because I've already started laying groundwork. So
uh-huh.
that it does help me every now and then. And then one of the things I used to like that they don't do anymore, one of the stations used to have good religious movies on, and I can't find them anymore, so that bothers me. But I used to enjoy those. But But anyway, so I just wanted to honor those fields. And like I said, there's others, but if you know a school nurse, if you know somebody that's working third shift, you know, if it's someone that's close to you that you love and you all have that kind of relationship, massage their feet or something or their shoulders, you know, every now and then, you know. Just do that. A receptionist, do something that is going to put a smile on her face and brighten her desk, some flowers, you know, or if, you know, if you're a family member, if you have a nice family photo, something that reminds them that, you know, what the work that they're doing, what it's all about and what it's all for, you know. So just wanted to throw that out there. So
okay.
We're going to take a quick break, and then when we come back, I got to bend Princess's ear and pick her brain and get some motherly advice and some stories. So we're going to do that when we come back. I'm here with Princess Cooper, CEO of Never Had It So Good Entertainment. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back. Does it appear the long arm of the law is working against you instead of for you? Whom do you call when the boys in blue are pursuing you? When the wrong person behind bars may end up being you? With over 40 years combined legal expertise, Anderson & Welch bring to bear a smart, sound, sensible defense of those caught in what may be the unrelenting grip of the legal system. Turn to Anderson & Welch first to get ahead of trouble, not fall into it, by calling 561-832-3386. That's 561-832-3386. That's Anderson & Welch Law Firm online at andersonandwelch.com. Good morning. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. We are here with CEO of Never Had It So Good Networks, Princess Cooper. And Princess, you are a mom, and we want to share some mommy stories. So tell us a little bit about your mommy journey.
Wow. Gretchen, what I learned through my mother's journey is that expect the unexpected, and there is no book, no parenting book out there that is spot on with anything that you're going to incur being a parent. One of the most beautiful and blessed roles to have, and I have completely enjoyed it. You know, my first child was a C-section. My second child, I got chicken pox for the third time and had to deliver early, and did so naturally. A lot of times they say if you have a C-section, you will have to have it again. I had wonderful OBGYN and both times. And so after I wanted two children for sure. And I was thinking that, you know, I want a girl and a boy, however order they came in. But I had Lauren Ashley first, and I had Kristen Marissa second. And Kristen was as close to a boy as can be. She did things in an unorthodox way. And if I told her to clean up, she wouldn't push everything under a bed. You know, Lauren was a lot more softer, and yes, ma'am, and went and did what I wanted. But both just beautiful women at this point and really thriving in the world. But, you know, I always wanted both of them to look so pretty and so nice when I sent them off to school, and wanted that same look when they came back from school. No, if they went out to PE, that did not happen. Lauren cut the front of her top ponytail to impress a boy. So she came home and the top of her hair was cut, and she had long, long, pretty hair. So I was more spaced out about that than her, of course, and contacted the teacher. But, you know, I've learned that all of those, that emotional energy spent on small stuff didn't matter. The bigger things were to be a role model and try to be the best that I could for the both of them. And was I always successful? No. But the desire to always make sure they had a role model was there. And if I could be half of what my mom was, I felt I was on the right path. But to women now, I say to moms now who are just starting to be a mom, don't put so much pressure on yourself to be perfect every day. There is no such thing as a perfect day. But, you know, try to make strides and reach a couple of goals each day. But there's no way to be a career woman and have an immaculate home and immaculate children every day. But if you can do that, you know, the majority of time throughout the year, you have done well as expected. You know, I think that we as women have this beautiful picture of, you know, we're going to get home before our husband is, and we're going to have this candlelit dinner, and the kids are going to go to bed early and never wake up at night, and we're going to wake up and do this beautiful day all over again. No such thing. But if you can put God first and make sure your children understand that they should put God first, I think everything else kind of falls into place, Gretchen.
So let me ask, did your children come on your timeline? When did you have your first?
Oh, yeah. Oh, I planned both of mine.
Okay. All right.
Yeah, I remember getting my first promotion with Dillard's at that particular time and saying to my husband that, you know, I thought it was time. And if he didn't think it was time, that maybe he needed to start preparing, because I wasn't going to renew the prescription for the pill the following month and let it be where it may. So I think I went off the pill, I knew, around April. And then on June, I was in this team building camp out at, gosh, one of those military bases around Jacksonville, Florida. I was at a team building event, and I was climbing the wall, and I was like, you know, I feel kind of different, you know. And the next week I went, and they say, you know, yes, you're pregnant. And so, and then I knew that I wanted to wait, you know, at least 2 to 3 years down the road, because I wanted to have it where one left high school and went to college and the other one was entering high school. So I wanted them 4 years apart. So about 3 years to the day, you know, I went ahead and said, okay, this is what we're going to do now. And I had them 4 years apart, and that kind of worked out. But, yeah, I planned that, and I never was surprised by the pregnancy. I tried to work it where I thought it was manageable for me. But I must say, whenever they depart, when they departed, when I went back to work after maternity leave, it was tough. You know, when they went into kindergarten, it was tough. When they left, you know, all those milestones were very emotional to me.
Okay. So were you a clean mom?
What do you mean when you say clean mom? I had to have everything in place.
Clingy.
Oh, no. No, I don't think so. And because I had very good sets of grandparents on both sides. His parents were powerful and awesome, and my parents were powerful and awesome. And I wanted it all. And when I say that, I wanted to have children and be an impact, but I also wanted a career. And I wanted both. It's just as bad as anything. And I thought that I could do both, and I did do both. And, you know, I found a career that I had to work days and sometimes night because I was in retail, and I worked a lot of holidays. But, no, I was not clingy. I was able to put both in perspective and show my girls that, you know, you can be a career woman too. And I love doing that. I didn't want to be a stay-at-home mom ever. And I told my husband at that time, don't buy ever, ever go get a van for this house or a station wagon. I'm not driving either one of them. And I was adamant about that, and that is looking like a career woman, looking like a professional, but also looking like a professional and a career woman with my children out shopping. There was an image I was trying to uphold, probably sometimes to my detriment, but yeah, yeah, that was very important to me.
Okay, all right. So now, how old are your daughters?
Wow, I knew you were going to ask that.
Come on, Mom.
And so that it does not date me, they're both in their 20s.
Okay. I kind of gathered, but yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Who cares?
I do.
Caring about all this.
I do.
Okay.
I have a milestone birthday coming up, and I know it's a milestone birthday coming up, and I have debated on what I'm doing with that. You know, am I having a big gathering, which I plan, and I need to get on it if that's what I'm going to do. But I don't want any mentioning it. There's not going to be any number on any cake or a number in the balloons.
As self-confident, as forward-thinking as you are, I am just surprised at that. Because, like, for example, I remember when my 30th was coming up, and I remember hearing people talking about being depressed on their 30th birthday and da-da-da-da-da and all this kind of stuff. And I'm like, really? I was intent on celebrating it or going with just moving past it and moving forward, because one of the things that, you know, I had fun in my 20s, but one of the things that depressed me in my 20s was I did not feel like people took me seriously in my 20s. And I was actually wanting to get out of that, because I figured by age 30, I will have earned more credibility, and I will have gained a lot of experience and knowledge that I can use to go forward. So turning 30 for me was not a big thing. You know, I turned 60 a couple years ago. Actually, I turned 60 last year. Okay, let's get it straight. and I was kind of just, you know, determined the same thing. There were just things that I was going to let go. You know, being 60 is like, I've got more years because I doubt I'm going to live until 120 and don't necessarily know if I want to live until 120 because I want quality of life. So I've got more years behind me instead of ahead of me, and I'm just trying to, continue to be productive if I can. Let go a lot of burdens that other people would put upon me. Key to me, you know, like I don't really want anybody else dictating the remainder of my years.
I can say, Gretchen, at 30, I celebrated that and let everybody know too. I was very proud of 30 because I didn't look 30 at all. And at 30, I really understood who I was and what I wanted out of life. And I had children by that point. So 30 was a powerful age for me because I really had gotten promoted several times, was making a whole lot of money. And I felt I understood motherhood and how to manage and navigate as best as possible and navigate being a career woman and a wife and a mom. So 30 was no big deal. And I am proud of the next milestone now. Thank you, Lord, for letting me see it. But I don't know, that ain't none of anybody's business at this point. Nope.
Okay. All right.
That's my contention, you know.
Okay. Well, we're going to talk a little bit more about Princess and get some mommy insight from her. I'd like to ask you when we come back about things that you got from your mom that you were able to utilize and pass on. So I want to talk about that when we come back. And if you want to join the conversation, you know you have stories you want to share, or you want to ask some questions, the number is 516-387-1944. This is G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment, and we will be right back.
This is Douglas Dobbs of Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service. We have served the Central Florida community for 29 years with quality funeral and cremation services. Honoring all religions and faiths, we have been here for many grieving families. Whether it's a complete funeral service with a burial or a simple, dignified cremation, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service is here for you. Located at 430 North Kirkman Road at the 408 Expressway, Dobbs Cremation and Funeral Service, 407-578-7720. Dobbs, dedicated to serving our families.
Having a wedding, reception, family reunion, planning a banquet, or some other fundraising event. Need to share your knowledge through a workshop or seminar. Or it's a difficult time and you need to plan a wake or repast. Let us help. At our gatherings, let us reduce the stress and make the occasion memorable, treasured. Call our gatherings at 407-968-9387 or email ourgatherings@yahoo.com. Let us help plan your special event.
Well, good afternoon. Welcome back to G's Power Hour on Never Had It So Good Entertainment. I am your host, G. Thanks so much for being with us today. I am here with CEO and mom, Princess Cooper. And if you have questions or comments, the number is 516-387-1944. So, Princess, I know you were extremely close to your mom. Can you talk about her and what made you admire her so much and lessons that you took to when you were rearing your own daughters and things that you've passed along?
Gretchen, I must say while my mother was living that I was just like her, but I don't know if I like people saying that. I didn't, you know, I was like, oh, no, you know, I'm a millennial, and of course I wasn't, and no, you know. But I am my mother, Doris Cooper Jones, for sure. And she, the first thing I would say is education. She was persistent on that, and she made sure, even though it was policy within education that you could not have your own biological child in your class, she specifically went in and petitioned for that to the school board and got me. But I lived at the elementary school that my mother was in. When everybody else got on the bus to go home, you know, I went to her classroom and did my homework. And then I went to everybody else's classroom and asked if I could do anything. And I eventually, you know, it was my thing three and four times a year to do all of the teachers up and down the hall, their bulletin boards, and cut out pictures and try to make the bulletin board 3D. So I think that is part of who I am now in my graphic design business, being socialinc.org. But education was the first thing, and it was just expected. I don't know if my mother ever said to me, you're going to college, young lady. It was just like, you know, that was it. You know, once we got to middle school, and I actually would skip the grade because the teachers came to her and said, you know, I talk too much and that I talked all the time, and that I was the first one to turn in my homework, and then I aggravated everybody else. So
skipped me for it.
exactly. But some other things is that cooking. My mother was an excellent, impeccable cook with no recipes. Later on, she discovered a couple of things from different, you know, cooking shows that she went to and had recipes. And I found those a few years ago, two or three years ago, and brought them back to Columbia with me. But my mother was an excellent cook, and I developed her cooking skills and was cooking for the entire house by the time I was 12. And when I say cooking for the entire house, everything. Now, she continued to do Sunday dinners and bake and for the major things. But at 12 or 13, my mother was really into going to the lake on the boat and fishing. She really was into that. And by the time she got home, or my parents got home, not only had I cooked and cleaned up the entire house and all of that, but sometimes cut the grass too. So But I've definitely got my cooking skills from her, and I love to cook now. And Reverend Robinson loves to brag about that. And I usually am in the kitchen Saturday night, whether we've gone out or not, and I'm preparing and making sure that the main course is almost done by Sunday morning and then, you know, before we go to church. And one of the last things is it's just a clean house. My mother just didn't play. Now, I don't think I'm as pressed as she was on ironing sheets and pillowcases. I've let that go, Mama, for sure.
I'm not doing that one anymore.
I remember asking that back then. What is the? I don't understand. And you get that look that means do what I say and move on. But I'm like that every day, still around the house. You know, I fix breakfast for Reverend Robinson. I immediately clean up the kitchen, and then I try to survey the house as best as possible in the morning and make sure to make up the bed and straighten up the room and whatever else I think that he's gotten out of place while he was getting dressed that morning. But yeah, my house is the same whether you come into it at 8 o'clock on a Monday or 8 o'clock on a Saturday. I clean up every day. And I mean to the point where all of my shoes are back in the box and the tissue and organized and colorized. I have 3 walk-in closets in this house, and all of them, one has winter, one has summer, spring, whatever. But they're all colorized from white to dark and da-da-da-da-da. That's me. Now, I've relinquished some of it, Gretchen, in my old age. I don't alphabetize my spices anymore. That used to be some crazy stuff, too. I don't have to sit at night at midnight and put all the dolls back together that my daughters had out and get them all dressed every night and put them back in their houses or their suitcases or whatever. But my mother was like that, and I don't know if she gave me the trait or if I was born with it. But the one thing she said is it does not take money to be clean. You don't have to have a big bank account to have standards on how organized you are. And I meant there's some things that I fall short of. You know, I have a filing cabinet in there that's so unorganized every time I open it. As far as my desk is concerned, in my office, there is nothing on the desk except for, you know, the pen that holds the princess cup that holds all my ink pens, a lamp, and my laptop. That is it, you know, and it's glass. So every day after I finish at night, I get the Windex and I clean it. So, again, some of that I'm asking God to release me of. But for the most part.
Yeah, you're doing pretty well because I am none of those things. And I can't blame no one, absolutely no one, let me put this out, that can blame my mom because my mom taught me better. But I've just always been one of those people. I mean, because, yeah, I mean, we had a routine, and I was the only child, so there was no siblings. There were things that,
the routine,
you know,
fell
I was
on
the
you.
One that I was going to do it, you know. But, you know, as when I got to be an adult, it's like, I ain't got time for this mess. There's too much to do. You know, it's like, you know, I always told Mom, like, you know, home is just where I come and go to sleep and get up and out again. It's just, that was basically it. Now, I like to get home, and I like the fact, and one of the reasons I really need to do better with my house, because one of the things I liked that we did was entertain at the house. And I have, and when we, our current house, we previously, when we got married, we got a duplex and it had, you know, about a half acre and stuff like that. And we started having, and we haven't had one in a while, and I'm determined to get back to it. We used to have what we called a summer sizzler, because we had it deliberately not on an established holiday because everybody has something to do usually on those holidays. And we wanted to have something where people could come and just chill and eat and enjoy each other and have fun. Most of his family didn't know mine. Mine didn't know his. Our friends really, for the most part, didn't know each other. So this was a way to get everybody together. So we used to do this annually. So, and we had our duplex. We had like a lot of land in the front And then we had some landed back. So we had people park in the front because it was somewhat rural. We would have people park in the front, and we would have the sizzler in the back. So when we started looking for houses, because Mom, you know, after my father died, she moved in with us, and we had to get a bigger place. And one of the things we kept finding ourselves asking, where are people going to park for the sizzler? You know, and we didn't realize how much it had kind of gotten, in, and especially for me, it was like, you know, where are people going to park? You know, and how is this going to happen? So it became kind of a significant part of our house hunting. So we end up, we have a place that has more land in the back than the front, but it's still enough where, you know, there's significant room for people to park and have the sizzler in the back. And I'm really needing to work on my house because, you know, I've done stuff like bought a projector with a screen to show outdoor movies. That's how much I really want to get back into just having a base where people can come and enjoy themselves and have a good time. And that's one of the things that I didn't understand with this tiny house craze came along. It's like, where are you going to have your family and friends?
Hmm.
You know? So, but that is one thing that my mom would do. She would entertain. She would have Thanksgiving dinner, and, you know, and people were welcome to stay as long as they want. If, you know, if they wanted to stay overnight, especially if you were younger and you didn't mind, like, putting a bed on the floor or something, you know, doing the slumber party thing. She was you know, all about that. So I really, that has kind of, I'm kind of need to kind of get my house in order, literally and figuratively, so that I can get back to getting my family and friends together again, just to chill, because so many people since I've gotten married, including my parents, are no longer here. So.
Wow.
Yeah.
Well, you know, our yard is we sit on a little bit over an acre, and the backyard is humongous, and John loves it. As a matter of fact, a couple of his friends, you know, on the fence line in the back says, hey, could you just house a grill? Because in the subdivision that I'm in, and our yard is completely fenced in the back, which, you know, I love too. So, but My parents love to entertain and have, you know, Thanksgiving and Christmas at their house, and 4th of July, and all of our birthday parties were in the yard, and kids came, and we would race and, you know, run down the yard with spoons of with eggs or ice cream or whatever. You know, we did those sort of things. But I'm not as and John is so – I don't care if I said to him, hey, you're grilling. Could you put some extra steaks for da-da-da-da? Could you make sure and do an extra rib? Because I – that tell him to come on. The more the merrier. Come on. John is an entertainer. But I'm not as – they're nearly there as much as he is anymore, because to me, all of that entertaining means, okay, I got to clean up my house and recover my house after these people leave here. And then they messed up my bathroom and stepped on my nice little Persian rug there. I get so bent out of shape over that foolishness.
Oh, my gosh.
You know, but he loves, and if he's out grilling, which is 2 and 3 times a month, he'll get out there on the patio, and people will stop by, and he'll come inside, you know, in the kitchen and grab paper plates and paper cups and utensils and barbecue sauce or whatever, and go back out there. They're eating off the grill, and I can let them do that all day long. And be in my element in the house, and I'll go out there and say, hi, everybody. Hi, Reverend so-and-so. Hi, because it's usually some other ministers. And and I'll go out there for 5 minutes and make my appearance and never go out there again. As long as they make sure and go to that back bathroom, I don't see them anymore. And I'm okay with that. I'm not as much the entertainer as I used to be. Now, you know, I kind of got into Mary Kay, so, you know, I'll do a little bit of that. And if somebody's having a baby, I don't mind having a shower. But I bet you, after that shower or whatever is over, I'm up till 1, 2, 3 o'clock in the morning because I'm going to get my house back right like I want it. And I'll mop the kitchen floor after they leave. Oh, my God, did someone come in here with wet shoes? That is me, Gretchen. That is me. And that's exactly what John says. He'll pass by me and say, girl, go to bed. Or come on to bed with me.
Yeah.
And I have to laugh at myself. Oh, God.
I can kind of understand, and I probably should be a little more like that. I can't go to that extreme. I shouldn't say. I don't want to. Because number one,
exactly.
See, I've got a part of my problem is I got this rebellious streak, okay, and mm-hmm. I'm gonna be the only one doing it, no matter how many people, including my significant other, messes up, and I just refuse to be the maid. You ain't paying me, okay? I didn't do this on my own, okay. So I've got that rebellious streak going because I've never wanted to be pigeonholed. I'm not one of those people that likes to be pigeonholed. No. So I have that rebellious streak going. It's like, you know, you need to get in here and you know, do something because you contributed. And even if you didn't mess it up, if it was food, you definitely ate. You know? You ate. That's enough.
And
you
I
ate.
Like that.
So,
oh, I'm like that with Reverend Robinson in my own way, too, because one time in our relationship, he said, well, my daddy said that's women's work. And
see,
I said,
you
oh,
have
did
to
he?
Go to that second part. It's like my daddy said, and I'm like, I'm like, you know, my daddy said
oh,
and my mama said, and I'm like, you need to stop right there because I'm neither one of those people.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, so,
okay.
You know, so he made a mistake of saying that one time, and I made sure to show him, well, I thought I did, you know, but I took off the entire month of cooking and cleaning, and he finally
mm-hmm.
said, please, can we come to an understanding? You know, I'll do some, and you do some, and okay, that's what this is. That's exactly what this is, you know.
But,
it's a partnership.
See, now, that doesn't work here. That's the problem. Because, like, I was listening to you talking about how, you know, you got your cooking skills from your mom and everything. And I probably did, too. However, I'm so much trying to have a quality of life
mm-hmm.
that I don't do a lot of that, what I call bad cooking. I mean, my mom cooked
mm-hmm.
all kinds of stuff. She was good and everything like that. And I can do that kind of stuff. I was known for making one of the best roasts, you know, in my
mm-hmm.
teens. But, you know, it's like, okay, there's too much gravy here. There's too much salt there. There's not enough. There's, you know, there's too much red meat here. You know, it's too thick. And, you know, and so, you know, because I've pulled away from a lot of that, and tried to do some of the healthier cooking, my honey is not all that appreciative. So, you know, if I stopped cooking, it wouldn't really bother him. Because, you know, I mean, he's a man, and he wants his he would like his steak and potatoes. He's gotten better. I mean, he does somewhat watch what he eats, but at the same time, I mean, he's It's one of the things that I guess I'm kind of glad I stopped doing, but it didn't make any difference. I used to love to bake, and I still love to bake, but
mm-hmm.
we didn't, neither one of us need it. And my husband is diabetic, and I'm borderline. So
oh yeah,
he you
John
know,
is
so,
diabetic, and he's always asking for cake every weekend.
Yeah.
Every weekend.
Yeah.
And if not, as a matter of fact, I thought about fixing a pineapple upside down cake on Saturday, but the later it got, the more he saw that was not going to happen. So he said, "I'm going to Krispy Kreme. You want anything? No, know. And as a matter of fact, he was grilling last weekend, and I saw him out there with a honey bun, and this honey bun had chocolate. Lord, I'm saying this in front on live radio, but okay. It had chocolate and caramel drizzle throughout.
Ooh.
And he had eaten half of it by the time I got to the patio, and he saw me picked it up. And I saw Reverend go, damn it. I saw him mouth his words.
Oh, my God.
And yeah, I said, what are you doing? What are you doing with this? With
mm-hmm.
this?
Mm-hmm.
You're diabetic. He said, but it's so good. Don't take it. I said, no, no. In my heart, I know that, okay, you've had half. I said, where did you get it from? He said, the corner store in Florence, South Carolina. I said, and you still have
wow.
to go back there next week. And he said, yeah, so if you take this one, I'm just going to have to go get another one. I said, what's the name of that corner store? I said, I'm going to call them and email them a picture of you and tell them not to sell you anymore. But I said, in the meantime, I'm taking this one. I'm taking the rest of this one. Oh, please don't take
mm-hmm.
it. I said, listen to you.
Mm-hmm.
And
yeah.
so he's, you know, but to get back to what you were saying, at least once a month, I will fix, slow cook a roast with potatoes and carrots and thick gravy in it and a little bit of onion in it. And he loves it with some
mm-hmm.
type of rice and some type of vegetable. And you got to have cornbread. And my daddy said that you shouldn't have meat if you don't have any gravy. And, you know, my mom used to fix 5 and 6 desserts. Your mama gone, baby. Your mom is gone. And I loved her, too. But mama is gone, and no one's doing that anymore. And we don't have 7 kids around the house. There were
mm-hmm.
no, there were 4 girls, 5 girls, and 2 boys. Okay. I said, no, we don't have 7 kids in the house. No one's cooking 5 and 6 desserts and 3 different meats on Sunday. We're going to streamline this, you know.
I know in this house that's not happening because on Sunday we go to the movies.
Sunday,
that's not happening here. Or we're watching some
if
sort
it's
of
not
sports.
College football or college football or the NFL, when that is out of season and that is in season from August until February, Sundays are taken for me. We do church and we get home definitely
yeah.
before 1 o'clock. And normally I have cooked. And on Saturdays, I make sure whatever visits I have to do or, you know, self-care with the spa
mm-hmm.
and whatever on Saturday mornings. But I'm home by 12 o'clock. And John really doesn't get me to move unless there's something special that we're supposed to be at for the day or some type of festival or some type of workshop. For the most part,
mm-hmm.
though, I am in my office with 2 and 3 TVs gone and the laptop with a different game on each one of them. And I'm in there
okay.
yelling and go, and what are you doing? And come on. And John loves it. It is his opportunity to, you know, dote on me, and he'll cook on Saturday, you know, those Saturdays. And I still cook on Sundays, but yeah, the dynamic has changed. If any of his guys want to come and watch sports, oh, they can come and do that. But, you know,
mm-hmm.
that for sure. But I am still
yeah.
that cook. I am
yeah.
still that starch, gravy, whatever cook. Now, I'm not a meat person. I would rather rice and gravy every day, and I would be fine. I've discovered, though,
mm-hmm.
that's not good for my waistline. So, you know,
yeah.
I love salads. I can't get John, and I know we've gotten way off here. I can't get Reverend Robinson, I'm going to stop this, to eat a salad. If I do, he's like, well, what am I going to do with that?
Oh, now see, my husband will eat a salad. And in fact, he told me every now and then he will order something through his work and then bring it home for dinner. But they come out and deliver for lunch every now and then. So he told me today he got a salad. But he likes my salads when I do it. I mean, he won't do one himself. I'm like, are your fingers broken? Can you, I mean, it's not a hard thing, really, you know. But he's like, you do them so well, you know. So, but I that was one of the things when I was a kid. You know, I wasn't one of those so much that came home and ate a lot of junk. I'd come home and make myself a bowl of salad, and
oh, yeah.
either be under the TV or doing homework. Because I just, mm-hmm. My mother always, you know, taught me, try to teach me how to eat you know, vegetables. And so I like most vegetables, I think, or at least I'll try to eat them. And if I don't like, and some vegetables I've discovered as I've gotten older that it wasn't so much that I didn't like them per se, or it may have been, but if you cook it a different way, I might actually like it better and eat it. So, but yes, we've gotten so off course.
Way off course. Whatever my mother cooked, and she was a very good cook, that's what we ate the leftovers. We had that for dinner. And there was probably enough leftovers for the next dinner, but that's what we ate when we got home from school. And then when my mom got home, then she started another major dinner, you know, again. My mother cooked like that for sure. So.
Yeah, mine
way
too.
Of course. I know we are.
talking about mamas and stuff. So, because I wanted to get more into some of your stories, but what things do you see now with young moms that I guess weigh on you a little bit, and what would you like to say to them? What one key piece I guess would you like to pass along?
You know, Gretchen, I think there's two things, and or maybe three, but I'll start with getting your child involved in a youth program or church. Getting them involved where they can thrive and develop good interactive skills with people that are on their same level of concern. And when I say level of concern, those who are trying to do the right thing, get them out of the streets. So I encourage moms early to get them involved in church or youth program that a church has or that any other nonprofit has. Another thing is that we have to make sure that we're providing discipline for our children so when they get out into the community, a la school, that they don't lose their mind. I think parents, young moms, you would be surprised on what your child says and does in your home versus what he's doing on the bus and in school. And I see it every time I go to volunteer or do something, and I have friends that are, part-time bus drivers, or I have plenty of friends that are principals and educators, and they are amazed for how the standards and where they are. Moms, we've got to do better. And be okay with the village helping you. Don't leave the village out. And be okay with the village helping you to discipline. I think it's so important. And the village is gone because, you know, a lot of times parents say, don't touch my child or don't da-da-da-da. But discipline, I think, is something that we have to really get back to in our homes. And maybe that'll stop some of the out-of-the-way violence that we see. And I know it's not going to stop it all, but parents, I encourage you. Moms, I encourage you to understand what your child is doing every day. Education is so important. And because of social media, moms, try not to get them a phone when they're 6 and 7 and 8 years old. Try not to do that. That is our biggest thing. When we are volunteering to help children, whether it's inside or outside, we have to say, everybody bring up their electronics, so that we can pay attention. And most 6, 7, or 8-year-olds that we are volunteering with, and we probably have a crowd of 50 to 60 kids, most of them have tablets. I didn't get my first tablet until I was 30-something. And they have headphones.
I was saying, what's a tablet?
iPad, you know. And they have this, and they have iPhones, and they have the covers for them. They have, you know, iPods, and they have the gamut. A lot of kids, even in neighborhoods that are maybe not as affluent, they can come in with $2,000, $3,000, $4,000, and $5,000 worth of equipment attached to them. And they would rather have their devices and text each other amongst themselves, not talk, so that they can talk about whomever in the crowd or whomever is up front. But, moms, I just encourage us to focus on God, to focus on education and discipline for our children. It makes, you know, I have some friends,
and they have four children. Last mm-hmm. year, one of their sons graduated from Duke. 2 weeks ago, their son just graduated from the Citadel here in South Carolina in the military school. They have a daughter at Howard University getting ready to go to law school, and they have their oldest daughter is now an attorney. All four of their children stayed the course within the journey, and look at them now. And I know it can be mm-hmm. done, and I'm not asking anybody to be a lawyer or a doctor, although mm-hmm. if you see it, you can be it, and we have plenty mm-hmm. examples of that. But what I'm asking mm-hmm. is that we all try to be integral parts of society and give back and to be a part of the solution and not the problem. And it starts with us as parents. It starts with us as moms.
And we're going to have to, of course, have another part with you, a part two at some point. But thanks, Princess.
Gretchen, are we out of time? We're out of
yes,
time?
Yes, we are. We are past time. Yes, boss, we're past time. Anyway, tomorrow we have Erica Shepherd sharing her mommy stories. Thank you all for listening. This has been G's Power Hour on Never Had So Good Entertainment. Be well, be safe, be blessed, and please remember, all real power comes from God. Take care.
Thank you, Gretchen.
Thank you.
Get up on your feet in here. Woo!